The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericaempowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to today's Inspiring Women with your host, Deanne DeMarco. On today's program, you'll meet the next business and entrepreneurial rising star. You'll learn from their successes, challenges, and life lessons to find out what has made them recognized in their fields. Now, here is your host, Deanne DeMarco.
Welcome to today's Inspiring Women. I'm your host, Deanne DeMarco, and today we have got an amazing show for you today. We are going to be talking about overcoming challenges and achieving unlimited potential. We have two amazing guests who will be sharing practical and actionable strategies that you can use to achieve your wildest dreams and goals. We have two very special guests. Our first guest is blind, and she's been blind since her youth, and she's just had an amazing life and achieving some amazing things, including winning the Ironman and 12 marathons. Our second guest was the first female African-American Navy helicopter pilot. After leaving the Navy, she went on to achieve a VP level at a major billion-dollar company. Both of these women have overcome major challenges to achieve some amazing goals, and they're going to be sharing those with you today. Our show today is sponsored by the UPS Store. From printing and mailbox solutions to packaging and shipping, the UPS Store is your helpful neighborhood small business resource center. Well, I can't wait to introduce you to these first guests. Our first guest is Patricia Walsh. And Patricia was diagnosed with a pediatric brain tumor, which left her partially blind at the age of 5 and lost the rest of her sight at the age of 14 due to lingering complications from the surgery that she had when she was younger. As a teenager, she struggled with depression and hopelessness. Today, Patricia is a world champion triathlete and award-winning engineer. She has raced over 12 full marathons and ultra marathons. And in 2011, she set the world record for the blind Ironman athletics, blowing away previous female and male records by over 50 minutes. Walsh has a degree in electrical engineering and computer science, becoming one of the first blind engineers at Microsoft. She is a national champion for the Olympic sprint distance and secured bronze for the United States in the short course world championship in Beijing, China in 2011, and is in Auckland, New Zealand. She won Athlete of the Year for U.S. AT in 2012, and she is currently training for the 2016 Paralympics Triathlon. And she is the author of an amazing book, which I strongly recommend everyone run out and get, called Blind Ambition. Patricia, welcome to today's Inspiring Women.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Oh, when I read your book, I went, oh my word, I just can't wait to have you on this show.
Makes me so happy. Yeah, it's been out for about 2 weeks now, so it's still I'm still getting early responses from it. So,
oh, it's amazing. Tell us a little bit about your life. What motivated you to excel in business and athletics?
You know, I think initially it really was one foot before the other. You know, and initially it wasn't a success in business and athletics, but really small steps that I took. Really more motivated by trying to reclaim some quality of life. You know, when I lost my vision, I really fell apart. I didn't know what tools I had available. I didn't know how to advocate for myself. And I had grown up with the idea that I had aptitude and had potential. And once I lost my vision, the message was pretty loud and clear that I did not have aptitude or potential, and that I had to resign myself to that life of underachievement. And everyone really kind of had it in their minds, the people who were influencing me, family and professionals. I think everyone really had it in their hearts. They were trying to protect me, and that any effort I had to achieve or to go beyond what they expected of me was sort of evidence of denial of my condition. They thought that meant that I didn't understand what it meant to be blind because I was trying to achieve beyond what they thought a blind person could achieve. Mm-hmm. So I just felt at every turn, you know, we talk about the glass ceiling, but I felt like there was glass ceilings and glass walls. I mean, I couldn't turn around, you know, and it was so frustrating to, you know, prior to losing my vision, I had been on the advanced placement track, was going to graduate high school at about age 16. Then I lost my vision at 14, ended up having to go from being a high achiever to, you know, real remedial studies, relearning how to read, learning alphabet, learning that sort of thing in Braille. It was just an ego crusher.
So yeah.
Really, you know, my initial motivation was, you know, try to run 1 mile. And that really was just a stab in the dark at trying to reclaim some sense of self. And then through kind of a sequence of incremental victories, built up some momentum until I got to where I'm at today, which is more an excitement around achievement. You know, this is, I'm not proving myself anymore. I'm not reclaiming quality of life anymore. This really is just a kind of appetite for how far can I go with this. And it's very exciting.
You know, it's just been reading your story has just been amazing. You know, you write about the naysayers that would give you reasons as to why you should not be able to succeed with the goals that you have set for yourself. Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Well, I think for blindness, it was pretty tangible, and it was all about, you know, in high school, for example, I wanted to take some more math classes, and the legislation at the time said that you had to, the school had to provide within reasonable accommodation. But since I had taken a lot of high school level math classes in my junior and middle school years, they were no longer required because it wasn't a requirement to graduate. I had completed that requirement to graduate. So mm-hmm. It was within reasonable accommodation that they no longer provide me math classes. That was legal. And I think that there was also, they were of the mindset that it was going to be an exercise in failure, that for me to go to the calculus and to the next level of math, you know, they look at all these graphs and these diagrams, and really what they're saying is we don't know how to make this accessible to the blind, therefore a blind person can't accomplish this. And I really was at no point certain that I could do it, because I also didn't know the tools were available, but I wanted to try. I wanted to exhaust every avenue and exhaust every possibility. So I think their intent was to spare me the sort of goose chase or spare me this, you know, crushing experience. But I really was unwilling to let another human being dictate my limitations. And I was absolutely willing to fall on my face and try it and see if it didn't work. But mm-hmm. I wasn't willing to accept that it wouldn't work without having made the attempt. And I think that overcoming those naysayers and those critics and people who really were well-intentioned but were holding me back in every turn, you know, that was really challenging in a lot of regards, predominantly because I wasn't certain it was going to work out. You know, and there was some failures along the way, but, you know, from every experience, you learn something that you take with you to the next experience and just become that much stronger and that much more capable. And really what you want to be at the end of the day is a really solid problem solver. It's not that you want to know all the answers. It's that you want to know how to get to the answers. And some failures along the way, that'll only help you get there.
Yeah.
So one thing I really feel about the naysayers, though, and the critics, is that we all experience that. That's not unique to someone with blindness, but we've all experienced someone who cut us down at a moment when we were trying to thrive. And that's something we all have to overcome.
You know, I would like to quote one of your sentences from your book, if I may, and it talks about the naysayers, and it says, and I love this quote, it says, "You need to realize that no matter what you do to or accomplish, there will be people running behind you who are trying to belittle your efforts and people who are trying to claim that you are somehow less than you project. At the end of the day, you have to hold firm in the confidence of what you know to be true." I just loved that quote.
Thank you. Yeah, it's funny, as you'll read back my own quotes, as I hear those words that were my own words, I really believe that to my core, you know, and even now, as, you know, we'll say that, you know, the book has been going great and people have been having really positive responses, and every once in a while, you'll still hear someone who kind of wants to cut you down a notch, and I can tell, you know, I had someone do that to me recently, and I could tell right away, this person hasn't read the book. This person is trying to cut me down. So it's just something that there will never be a perfect situation. There will never be a perfect product. There will never be a perfect momentum towards your own goals. But there will always be people trying to cut you down, and you have to just learn to not allow them to invest in what you have to offer. Just let them go. Just let them go. And it's easier said than done, you know.
Yeah, I mean, and also, I mean, I'm just going to give another one of your quotes. it says, I have learned that no matter what I accomplish, people will think what they were going to think, and there is nothing I can do to change their minds. So, and I just love that, because I think that works for anybody, is that as we're trying to accomplish our goals, there's going to be someone who's going to say, no, I didn't like that book, or, you know, or whatever,
yeah,
you know, that you're doing. They're going to try and put you down for whatever reason.
Yeah, it's remarkable, and it's true. So my claim to fame was in the Ironman distance triathlon, but now I train for the sprint distance. And a lot of people will say to me, like, oh, well, they act like I gave up on Ironman. But the truth is, I kind of had hit the top of what I was ever going to do with Ironman, and I train as much now, probably harder than I ever did. And people are always trying to cut that down. It's like, oh, you only do sprint. I'm like, I dare you to do what I do in a day. I think you'd be in tears by 3 p.m.
One of the things I really loved about, you know, your book and the story that comes out within your book is that you really gave yourself no excuses for failure.
Well, I would say I wouldn't say I give myself no excuses for failure, because I do think failure is part of the process, but I would say the accountability I put on myself is to learn and adapt when a failure has occurred. And what I speak to in the book really is failing gracefully, is I take on a lot, and I don't give myself an excuse to avoid a challenge. If something is challenging, I will never back down just because it's challenging. And in fact, I sometimes lock on to things. I would say I really hold myself to the accountability of learning from my mistakes and not allowing those mistakes or excuses. I will say also, I try very hard to be self-reflective and to be very honest with myself. I talk in the book about what I consider to be one of my core values, which is integrity from myself to myself, and that is being honest with yourself about, did I really give it 100% today? Was I did I do everything in my power to set myself up for success? Did I eat a good meal last night? Did I get good sleep? Did I take control over everything that I have control over? And truthfully, it's really hard to stay on top of all those things. You know, we have so much more impact over our well-being and over our health than we like to remember. And it's kind of the best and worst truths is that so much is within our control, but that also means we're responsible for it. We set ourselves up for success. You know?
Yeah. And one of the things I liked is that even though you did have some what you're calling failures, that was not an excuse for you to quit. You just kept going.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I think that's more of what I was talking about, is that you know, that people have a failure and then they quit. And you didn't allow those failures or those setbacks to be at the forefront of your brain. You took that as a, okay, what do I need to do to achieve this? So
yeah,
you used them as a launching pad.
There were some really humbling moments along the way, particularly when I was in university and really kind of in that battle of reclaiming my sense of ability. You know, there was a couple of times where I had failed exams, or, you know, and it wasn't like I didn't do the work and failed the exam. I had worked nonstop and then failed and then had to regroup, had to speak to the professors, had to maybe retake a class or retake the exam or find a different solution, different way of doing things. I mean, there were some really pride-swallowing moments along the way. And
I mean, it's hard enough for female engineers, and here you are, a blind female engineer.
And in some moment of, I guess, self-abuse, I decided to sign up for double engineering. So I did electrical and computer science. And I think at that point, I really was motivated by proving myself at that point. And, you know, I don't think that's where I'm at now, but I think at that point, I was willing to really sacrifice a lot of sleep and health to pursue that pretty ambitious goal. That's just where I was at then.
You know, we need to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about, in your book, you talk about the three hierarchy of goals mm-hmm. and how that hierarchy can help you achieve anything you want to achieve. But we need to take a quick break here. When we return, we're going to talk a little bit more to Patricia Walsh. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Friend us on Facebook to keep up with what's empowering the world. Voice America Empowerment.
I'm Steve, and I just opened my own barbecue restaurant. I'm the sauce master, but I'm no expert in printing.
And I'm Mary. I own the UPS store in Steve's neighborhood, and I help with professional printing like flyers and posters to promote Steve's restaurant. Steve loves being on his own.
But I'm not alone, thanks to Mary.
To find a locally owned center near you, visit theupsstore.com. We love small businesses. We love logistics. The UPS store franchise locations are independently owned and operated. Services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary by location. See center for details.
My name's Ken, and I am as general a contractor as you'll find. I do
kitchen remodeling, additions, plumbing, painting. Ken does it all. And I'm Mandy,
the owner of the UPS store in my neighborhood. And Mandy here does it all, too. She
handles Ken's packing and shipping. Because when you're remodeling a bathroom and a client
changes their mind on a light fixture or a mirror, Mandy packs it up and ships it out. She also
helps Ken promote his business, like with these new brochures we printed, new business cards.
And the flyers are great, too. In fact, when I'm at a job and I'm expecting a delivery,
I sign for it. I even let him know with a text or email.
Since I got a mailbox at the UPS store. I have to say, as much as I love being on my own, I'm not alone. I've got Mandy here.
To help with the heavy lifting?
Well, figuratively speaking.
To find a locally owned center near you, visit theupsstore.com. We love small businesses. We love logistics. The UPS store franchise locations are independently owned and operated. Services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary by location. See center for details.
Become a sponsor and position your company to the fastest growing market segment, the women's business market. Your organization has the opportunity to be positioned front and center to the women's business market by becoming a sponsor of today's Inspiring Women with host Deanne DeMarco. The show is broadcast weekly and features guests who are prominent and successful women business owners and influential executives. Businesses that fail to recognize the power of the woman buyer are leaving money on the table. Increase your market share to the fastest growing market segment by becoming a sponsor for today's Inspiring Women. Call 708-836-0118 for more information or email Deanne directly at info@deannedemarco.com.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit facebook.com/Voice America.
Build your better business. Achieve that goal. Make good on that resolution. The Voice America Empowerment Channel. It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed.
You are tuned into Today's Inspiring Women with Deanne DeMarco. We'd love to hear your questions and comments about our program. Please send an email to Deanne at deannedemarco.com. That's deanne@deannedemarco.com. Now, back to Today's Inspiring Women.
Welcome back. This is Deanne DeMarco with Today's Inspiring Women, and we have got Patricia Walsh on the line. And Patricia, you know, just before break, you were talking about a little bit about your background and how you approach failure, and we talked about the naysayers. And in your book, which is called Blind Ambition, you talk about a step-by-step program that people can use to achieve their goals. And you call it the hierarchy of goals. Can we talk a little bit about that?
I would love to talk about that. I call it the fuel fire blaze. So for the audience at home, for the listeners at home, imagine a pyramid with the lowest level is fuel, second level is fire, the top level is blaze. What we're talking about in the earlier segment is how often in taking on a big goal, you have these kind of pride swallowing or moments where something appears like a failure and you want to quit. And what I was really hoping to do in my hierarchy, in the goal achievement hierarchy, is first of all, answer the question of how do you maintain drive? How do you maintain your focus and motivation? Second of all, in those moments where you are so broken down, and that happens to all of us, how can you keep going? So when you're having that pride swallowing moment. And then also, you know, we've all had the experience of you read a goal achievement book and then you don't see those sustained, like, lasting results. You see a change in the immediate, but maybe not in the long term. So what I decided to do in my goal achievement hierarchy is really to map it to intrinsic motivation, and that's your top level. That's your blaze goal. That's your highest level kind of pyramid, if you will. And that is mapping, figure out what you care about in your life. And if you are, you know, for myself, I care about the way that athletes or that individuals with disabilities are perceived, because there is a huge rampant problem with prejudice of reduced expectations. That is to say that people are always very surprised to see me competent, to see me do well. So often I'll be out with my friends and someone will walk up to our table and they'll congratulate my friends on their generosity for taking the blind girl out. And I'm always so astonished and taken aback by that, because this person who doesn't know me assumes that I'm not contributing in any way to society or life or social relationships or all these things. It's remarkable when you realize what people assume of persons with disabilities. And I do think we all have those limits of perceived limitation. So my top level is to set an example of someone who is accomplished, who is a general educator of what a person with a disability can be. That's something I care about every day and will always care about. So particularly around my athletics, my top level is to set an example of an individual with a disability who is on par with elite able-bodied athletes. So in order to do that, we need the fire, and the fire is your milestones. That's what are the steps along the way that have to happen, have to come to fruition for your blaze to come to fruition. So my milestones are world championship and all the races that are going to have to happen in order for me to set that example. And then my fuel is my day-to-day. So that's my today, for example, I have 4 workouts I have to do today. I have a grand total of 3 hours of swimming, an hour of bike riding, and 1 hour of running. And it's really hard. That's just a typical day. It's very, very hard for me to maintain the motivation every day to really put my heart and soul into it. It's not enough to show up, enough to do a few laps. You have to really try to be at 90, 95% effort all the time in order to see any gains. So the way I'm able to do that, and what I encourage others to use my hierarchy to do, is the reason why I'm able to put in 100% effort, not 90 or 95 or less, is because I remember that this workout is what's going to get me to my fire, which is my milestones, which is what's going to get me to my blaze, which I honest to God care about. So it's a matter of taking your own goals and infusing them with the accountability of your own inspiration. So now you're responsible to maintain your own inspiration by infusing your everyday activities with something you honestly care about. And that way, the reason that I feel like this is different and we have a full perspective is because that is something I care about today and something I'm going to care about in a couple months. It's something I'm going to care about in a year. So where we've all had the experience of trying a goal achievement strategy and giving up in a few weeks, if you map it to something that you care about no matter what, giving up on it isn't even a choice anymore.
I love that. You know, one of the things, I'm going to come back to your book again, because you talk about this blaze goal hierarchy. And one of the things that I just loved is that you said define at least one activity that you're doing today that is tangential to the blaze goal. One thing that you could stop doing tomorrow so that you'll be able to spend more time on accomplishing your blaze goal. And, you know, and that merely made me pause. I never thought of what is one thing that I'm going to stop doing today so I can accomplish my blaze goal.
Yeah. One thing that I really talk about pretty frequently these days is that your premium, as all of us are adults with a wide breadth of responsibilities, your premium is really your energy. Like, we all talk about time as money, energy is money. If you are tired, if you're overextended, if you're doing things that aren't really advancing your purpose, for example, if I'm trying to be the best triathlete in the world and I start doing 3 times a week kickboxing, well, that's not going to help me. Or if I'm, you know, trying to get a certification, I have a tendency, and I think a lot of us in professional careers end up kind of getting credential happy, and we start, you know, serving these certifications without really evaluating, is this going to advance my blaze goal? Is this going to advance where I want to be in my career? And, you know, having a long list of certifications that it doesn't push you in one direction isn't really to your benefit. So it's really safeguarding that premium that is your energy to give in a day.
Yeah, I really love that. I mean, I just had never thought of, you know, that there are activities that you're doing that you may need to stop, or that, mm-hmm. that you are doing that are preventing you from achieving what you want to achieve.
They're just creating fatigue. They're just exhausting you. And then now you don't have the energy to give to something you honestly do care about.
Yeah. Or sidetracking you from what you really care about.
Sidetracking you. lots of context switching of the time going back and forth between the two. You know, a lot of times I know in professional career, we're asked to be on committees, we're asked to be on supportive roles. And, you know, you can't eliminate all of that, but anywhere where you are allowed to clean house, you know, my recommendation is to do it. One other thing I talk about a lot, kind of the same vein, is there's a lot of research and particularly a lot of stuff trending now about how to create healthy habits. And of course, I'm always in favor of creating healthy habits. But I would also say, you know, do some work on cleaning up the existing bad habits and being mindful of the fact that every decision we make sets the precedent for our next action or for our next decision. So we can always be mindful of not creating bad habits, you know, because that's just like creating a sinking boat, you know, so it's making your own life harder. And particularly when it comes to discipline in our food or discipline in our exercise or discipline in whatever it is our endeavor it is, as soon as you are putting any energy into that bad habit, you're making your own job harder. You're making your own life more difficult, your own blaze goal more out of reach. So it's really, I really advocate for being mindful of anything you can do to advance your blaze goal.
I really love that. You know, so what are some things that people can do who are maybe facing or have fear around failure, or they need to somehow build the courage to take more risks and to really strive for their unlimited potential?
Well, and most people I know who are really struggling, and I was one of them, and sometimes I have struggles ongoing, most people I think don't really know what their purpose is. And I think without that direction, you know, that true north that is your true north, then everything else is going to be kind of flailing, right? So what I would say to anyone who's really struggling with fear of failure or really struggling to see some momentum, I would say, number one, sit down and write down what is your blaze goal. And it may sound easy, but I think a lot of times we're pretty disassociated from what we honestly care about. So just write down one thing. One change you want to see in the world, and it doesn't have to be huge. It could be something like you want to be responsible for taking your family on vacation. You want to get a promotion. You want to learn some new skill. It doesn't have to be earth-shattering, but write down something that you honestly care about, that you feel strongly about. And once you can get that down, then I would really go through the exercise of the fuel, fire, blaze, and so you can see in your mind what's the clearest path to get to that you care about. And then the fear of failure, it will sort of dissipate on its own as you start taking on incremental challenges towards that blaze goal. Once you have a few successes under your belt, and I always say start small, pick one thing that you know you can accomplish, get it done, and then start taking on ever-increasing challenges until you have changed your mindset such that you see yourself as being someone who succeeds. And once you do that and the momentum gets going, all the fear and the intimidation kind of loses its ferocity.
I like that. See yourself. So you get to see yourself as succeeding.
I also want to advocate, you know, one thing I like to really remind people is this type of change does not happen overnight. You have to set yourself up for small incremental successes. And I think a lot of times, I know I've done it myself too, where I started taking on something huge. But you have to set yourself up, you know, by kind of fueling in that direction.
Wow. So how do people get hold of your book?
You can buy it at any book retailers, Barnes & Noble. You can also get it on Amazon.com, CEO Reads, most airport stores. It's all around. And if anyone wants to get a hold of me, my email is Patricia@blindambitionspeaking.com. And my website, of course, is blindambitionspeaking.com.
Blindambitionspeaking.com.
Yep.
Okay, so your email is Patricia@blindambitionspeaking.com. And
that's correct.
And you also have a website called Blind Ambition.
Blindambitionspeaking.com.
Blind Ambition.
Unfortunately, Blind Ambition is actually window blinds.
Oh, that's not good. That's not good. So what are some of the services that you provide? Only about a minute left. What are some services that you provide?
Public speaking, and then some consulting and training sessions, seminars if required. Yeah, predominantly public speaking.
Mainly public speaking.
On the topic of goal achievement.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I just loved it. I'm strongly advocate everyone reading your book, Blind Ambition, by Patricia Walsh. It is just amazing. And I love the way that you have stepped through this whole hierarchy of goals, and you really give us a lot of information on how to achieve those goals, to really achieve whatever goal we have in our minds, and that absolutely nothing is impossible. And I'd like to thank you for that.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I'm very excited to see what your listeners do with their limitless potential. And thank you so much.
Well, thank you for saying yes to today's Inspiring Women.
Oh, yep. I look forward to listening to it. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Patricia. We need to take a quick break now. When we return, we're going to talk to the first female African-American Navy helicopter pilot. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Follow us on Twitter for more great ideas at Voice America Empowerment.
My name's Ken, and I am as general a contractor as you'll find. I do
kitchen remodeling, additions, plumbing, painting. Ken does it all. And I'm Mandy,
the owner of the UPS store in my neighborhood. And Mandy here does it all, too. She
handles Ken's packing and shipping. Because when you're remodeling a bathroom and a client
changes their mind on a light fixture or a mirror, Mandy packs it up and ships it out. She also
helps Ken promote his business, like with these new brochures we printed, new business cards.
And the flyers are great, too. In fact, when I'm at a job and I'm expecting a delivery,
I sign for it. I even let him know with a text or email.
Since I got a mailbox at the UPS store. I have to say, as much as I love being on my own, I'm not alone. I've got Mandy here.
To help with the heavy lifting?
Well, figuratively speaking.
To find a locally owned center near you, visit theupsstore.com. We love small businesses. We love logistics. The UPS store franchise locations are independently owned and operated. Services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary by location. See center for details.
I'm Steve, and I just opened my own barbecue restaurant. I'm the sauce master, but I'm no expert in printing.
And I'm Mary. I own the UPS store in Steve's neighborhood, and I help with professional printing like flyers and posters to promote Steve's restaurant. Steve loves being on his own.
But I'm not alone, thanks to Mary.
To find a locally owned center near you, visit theupsstore.com. We love small businesses. We love logistics. The UPS store franchise locations are independently owned and operated. Services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary by location. See center for details.
One of the biggest challenges facing corporate America today is accountability. Lack of accountability results for more than 50% of all business failure. Lack of responsibility, strategy, and follow-up are just some of the culprits that kill accountability. Deanne DeMarco knows firsthand how to drive accountability in your business or organization. Deanne DeMarco is one of the most sought-after advisors and coaches in corporate America. Companies that use Deanne as their company coach often call her their chief accountability officer. Your company or business will grow with Deanne as your CAO. Call 866-91-COACH or email deanne@deannedemarco.com for more information.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
This is the home of the top life coaches, entrepreneurs, and success drivers. The Voice America Empowerment Channel.
You are tuned into Today's Inspiring Women with Deanne DeMarco. We'd love to hear your questions and comments about our program. Please send an email to Deanne at deannedemarco.com. That's D-E-A-N-N-E at deannedemarco.com. Now, back to Today's Inspiring Women.
Welcome back. This is Deanne DeMarco, Today's Inspiring Women, and we've got another amazing guest for you today, and that is Kameen Samuel, who started her professional career as a U.S. Navy first female African-American helicopter pilot. She transitioned from being having several small businesses and entry-level developer positions in a small computer electronic company after the Navy, and then moved quickly up through the ranks of several corporations, even serving as a vice president of global website operations at a $1 billion company. And Kameen has a wonderful book called Increase Your Abundance Starting Today. Kameen, welcome to Today's Inspiring Women.
Well, thank you so much, Dan. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit about your career and the decisions you made and why you went into the Navy.
Oh, well, going into the Navy really was an interesting decision. It was after my second, it was in my second year of college, and I knew I didn't want 2 weeks of vacation, and I knew I wanted to travel the world, and, you know, that was their slogan at the time, and I really wanted to expand my opportunities, and I didn't initially choose to go in as a pilot. I have much more of a business background that I wanted to expand in, and the pilot going into becoming a naval aviator was kind of something that I had to investigate and really think about, and really glad I did.
Yeah, I mean, flying helicopters has not been on the top of my list.
Wasn't at the top of mine either. I called it an adult decision.
Wow.
It wasn't, because many of the men that I flew with had wanted to be pilots since, you know, they were five, since they saw their first plane. So it was, you know, really for me, it was something that kind of I fell into, and it turned out really well, but it wasn't in my blood the way it was with most pilots. So it was so much fun.
I mean, with the men, I'm just going to lay it out there. Weren't there some discrimination issues?
Well,
or challenges, as you like to say?
Yeah. Well, it was, you know, being the first in the helicopters, but there had been one other African-American female, Brenda Robinson, who was before me, but she had been 7 years before me. And so getting my commission through Aviation Officer Candidate School in Pensacola, they kind of depicted in the Officer and a Gentleman movie many years ago. It was much harder than that movie depicted. And the drill instructors were all obviously Marine males who didn't really embrace having women in the service. So that was probably the most discrimination that I had during that period of time. And thankfully, I knew enough. I have amazing parents who taught me to speak up for myself, and I did speak up at one point. And that really helped me in some ways to curb some of the discrimination that I was feeling at the time. But then when I got my commission and got into my squadrons, because I was the first and nobody really knew what I was or had any preconceived notions, I really got to fly and have a wonderful career without too much of that, and really had some wonderful fellow men pilots who were extraordinary.
Very interesting. So you didn't have any issues with respect or any of those kinds of issues?
The nice thing is that when you're an officer in the Navy, it comes with a lot of respect. So I didn't really feel the discrimination from color or gender from that perspective there, because, you know, there was so much around the rank more so than the race or gender.
That was good. So why did you get out of the Navy?
That's an interesting question. I got out because I was tired of being a boy. I had to really compartmentalize my femininity, compartmentalize, you know, how I think as a woman, and really, you know, be very focused, very hard, had a very hard shell. And I got to a point, I had served for about 9 years, and I really started to understand that there was more to me. And again, as I mentioned before, my male counterparts, they had only wanted to fly, and I knew that I could do more than that. And so it really began to wear on me the compartmentalizing and really having to act in a certain way and be, as quote-unquote, in the military, using a term, locked up. And I really wanted to be who I came here to be and really expand my personality more.
You're interesting. You know, so after the Navy, you entered the corporate America. So was that a difficult transition for you?
Yeah, it was, and it was interesting because I actually had a period of time where, from the Navy, I went into business for myself and failed miserably, So that was about 3 years, and then I had to really think about what was I going to do, and so I started corporate. My self-esteem had taken a real hit during that period of time. I write about in my book, Increase Your Abundance, Starting Today, my bankruptcy and foreclosure of two homes. And then I went into, you know, showed up at corporate, having done a few things on my own and kind of bringing myself back, and ended up taking an entry-level position in corporate. And so it was interesting because going into corporate from the military, it was very different in discipline, and the things that made me successful in the military did not make me that successful all the time in the corporate world. You can't order people to do things; they're not going to just do them because they're supposed to. So I had a lot of adjusting in my own personality to corporate. And how I showed up every day, and not being so hard as I was when I left the service.
You know, one of the things that I really would like to talk about, you know, because you climbed the corporate ranks to the VP level, and I think it might be interesting for our listeners to find out, you know, what were some of those challenges that you had to overcome? What did you do, and what would you recommend women do today to be successful if they want to climb the corporate ladder?
You know, Deanne, I think that the most important thing I can share with people and our listeners today is that you have more power than you think. You know, if you ask me kind of the same question about the, you know, discrimination in the corporate world, I was a male dominated world there too in IT and web, it was in my own mindset of, from the military, we got promoted, we did a good job, we were excellent, we got promoted. And so it wasn't this thing that people have to go through in the corporate world of, you know, am I good enough and all the politics. It wasn't so much that. So, you know, I learned early on, when I got to my first corporate job, and I, again, took an entry-level position, even though I had a master's in information systems, and I asked my boss, you know, so when are promotions? And he said a year and a half, maybe. And I knew that was not going to work for me. And so I created my own promotion plan. It's something that I work with my clients on and help women, and I teach it at Lunch and Learns, is really thinking about their career, like, you have more power. Each of the listeners listening today have more power in their career than they know. And it is about being excellent. It is about volunteering and getting known and asking what are opportunities. And I did get promoted within 4 months of that, and then every year after that for a period of time until my own kind of demon, so to speak, of my own limitations and my limiting beliefs kind of stopped me at the senior manager level, and I stayed there for nearly 4 years until I went on to director and then on to vice president the year after that. And so for the listeners to know that you can create a career for yourself, it is about being excellent. It's about having a vision for where it is that you want to go, and then taking steps to move to that. A lot of women come to me, Deanne, and they're saying, well, not in my industry, or my company has a promotion freeze. And almost every one of my promotions was doing a promotion freeze. And the only consequence to that is that you can't tell anybody right away that you've been promoted. It takes a little bit of time for that, but I was okay with that because I knew inside of me that I had that title and I had the pay, and so it is possible.
You know, one of the things, and I'm going to have to take a quick break here in just a minute, but I just heard some things that I think are really important to focus on. Is one, you had a promotion plan, and you had a clear vision of where you wanted to go.
Yeah.
And I think that is really important. And then you said you need to excel at what you're doing. You need to volunteer. You need to get known, and you need to ask for opportunities. And I think those are all really important, because I don't think we do that.
No, we as women don't, in general, enough do those things. And especially the get known, that is a real key, Deanne, because many times people don't realize, and I used to tell my teams all the time, look, I don't promote you. I don't promote anyone. You promote yourself. And what I meant by that and talked to them about is my boss was the person who promoted them. So if they don't have a voice, if they don't speak up, if they're not known, when my boss goes against the other department heads and vice presidents, and nobody's ever heard of this person, they've seen them and they sit in the back of the room and they never speak up, it's less likely for us to get promoted. And so it's about really having a presence in the organization, being of service to the team and to the organization in a way that lets people know that you even exist at the company.
Well, I love that. You know, we need to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about this and around climbing that whole corporate ladder. But we need to take a quick break. This is Deanne DeMarco. Today's Inspiring Women. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
It's your world. Motivate. Change. Succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
I'm Steve, and I just opened my own barbecue restaurant. I'm the sauce master, but I'm no expert in printing.
And I'm Mary. I own the UPS store in Steve's neighborhood, and I help with professional printing like flyers and posters to promote Steve's restaurant. Steve loves being on his own.
But I'm not alone, thanks to Mary.
To find a locally owned center near you, visit theupsstore.com. We love small businesses. We love logistics. The UPS store franchise locations are independently owned and operated. Services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary by location. See center for details.
My name's Ken, and I am as general a contractor as you'll find. I do
kitchen remodeling, additions, plumbing, painting. Ken does it all. And I'm Mandy,
the owner of the UPS store in my neighborhood. And Mandy here does it all, too. She
handles Ken's packing and shipping. Because when you're remodeling a bathroom and a client
changes their mind on a light fixture or a mirror, Mandy packs it up and ships it out. She also
helps Ken promote his business, like with these new brochures we printed, new business cards.
And the flyers are great, too. In fact, when I'm at a job and I'm expecting a delivery,
I sign for it. I even let him know with a text or email.
Since I got a mailbox at the UPS store. I have to say, as much as I love being on my own, I'm not alone. I've got Mandy here.
To help with the heavy lifting?
Well, figuratively speaking.
To find a locally owned center near you, visit theupsstore.com. We love small businesses. We love logistics. The UPS store franchise locations are independently owned and operated. Services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary by location. See center for details.
Think you've seen everything there is to see in online television? Let us surprise you. Visit voiceamerica.tv today for sports, health, business, and more on demand 24/7.
Build your better business. Achieve that goal. Make good on that resolution. The Voice America Empowerment Channel. It's your world. Motivate. Change. Succeed.
You are tuned into Today's Inspiring Women with Deanne DeMarco. We'd love to hear your questions and comments about our program. Please send an email to Deanne at deannedemarco.com. That's D-E-A-N-N-E at deannedemarco.com. Now, back to Today's Inspiring Women.
Welcome back. This is Deanne DeMarco, Today's Inspiring Women. And we have got Kameen Samuel on the line. And Kameen, just before our break, you gave us a little bit of background around how you rose through the ranks to become a VP. And we were talking about some of the mistakes that women make. We were just getting into that. So what are some of the mistakes that you see other women making in their careers?
Well, I've seen, and I've done myself, a speaking up and not speaking up enough. And that is one, you know, in Sheryl Sandberg's book about, you know, getting yourself to the table and really sitting there and making yourself known. And that's when you're, again, going for promotion, it's really, again, the boss's boss, the heads of the organization that promote you. So if you have never spoken up, then they don't know who you are and they don't know what you can do. And it's not about, you know, taking out somebody else. And please, you know, I talk to a lot of women about, let's not have any mean girls out there. So make sure that you're not, it's not about you against somebody else. It's you being excellent as you in what you do and volunteering for extra jobs, working a little late. You know, we think that, oh, well, I heard recently a woman say, well, I don't want to work twice as hard as a man. And I'm like, well, you know, kind of get over it. It's not about working twice as hard as a man. It's about working twice as hard as the person you're up against, really, because it's about being seen as excellent, being seen and really committing to your job and being of service. Being a team leader, not just a follower. What ideas do you have for the organizations that could help the organization succeed better? I've had gals come into my office when I was in corporate, and they would be like, you know, I want a promotion. And I said, well, what have you done? And they're like, well, I'm here. You know, I come in every day, and I'm good at my job. I said, that's not enough. That's not, I'm paying you to be good. That is what you're paid for. I need you to be excellent and be thinking at the next level. You know, when I talked about my promotion plan and what I help women think about is if you want to go for the next level, it really is about acting as if you're at that level, not in a boastful or arrogant way, but it's thinking. I used to walk around and when I wanted to move from manager to senior manager because it was a big jump in our organization. And I would walk around and I'm like, well, what would a senior manager be thinking right now? What would they be doing? And I did that for director and vice president. And how would I be in a meeting and look at the people around me? How are the other directors being? How are the other vice presidents being? And how do they show up both in energy and how they look, how they handle emails, you know, and really teach myself and carry myself at the next level, and then it tended to happen on the outside. Getting promoted is as much an inner game as it is an outer game. It's what do you believe is possible for yourself, and how do you perform in a way that allows the company to succeed, allows your team to succeed, allows your boss to succeed, and so that's really a part of that whole process.
Well, I love that, you know, because I had the same thing as I'd have people come to my desk and they say, you know, I want to be promoted, and I go, yeah, but what have you done?
I know.
You know, just showing really, up and going home early
amazing,
doesn't cut
but a
it.
A lot of women, especially, think that because they show up, because they show up on time, because they should, you know, they do a good quote unquote job, they deserve to be promoted, and that's not the same.
Yeah,
it's really about what is it that you do that is different from the level that you are currently in that is that next level for you.
Now, we're going to take one last question here before I want to go into what you're doing today. But so what was the very best advice you've ever received in your career?
Ooh, it was this one is a juicy one because it's funny because I had never heard this. And it was by a male senior vice president in one of my companies. And he said, you know, and he was just throwing the ball. This was an oh, by the way comment, something that happened to be just showed up in his consciousness. And he said, you know, if you ever leave this job, make sure that you ask for a signing bonus and that it's grossed up. And I knew at least enough to ask him, what does that mean? Because I didn't want to pretend that I knew what that meant. And it was that the company paid the taxes on the bonus. It was really two things, because it goes to negotiation, which women don't do very well.
Right.
I had no idea. I knew people got signing bonuses, but I hadn't considered that I could ask for one. And second, I had no idea that you could get bonuses in our company. We got bonuses a lot in our company, but they were always taxed at 45%.
Right.
And so to have it grossed up meant that the company paid the taxes, which meant if you were given a $10,000 signing bonus, you would get $10,000. And wow. So for me, that was really one of the critical things, because it taught me that other people have information that I don't have about negotiating.
Well,
about, you know, the next level. About,
you know, we're running out of time here, and okay. I really want to get into what you're doing today and how do people get hold of you.
So how do people get hold of me is at KameenSamuel.com, and I have I work with amazing women who are business owners or career individuals who are really looking for that next level. And I specialize in helping women clear the blocks, the internal blocks that keep them from moving forward in their business or career. What limiting beliefs do they hold about themselves that keep them from seeing themselves at that next level? A lot of times it comes from their childhood, what other people said about them, things that they've taken in, and we clear that, and then we go for creating the plan for that next level. And I also work with women who are really at that stage in their 50-plus, and they really are looking for that next level.
And how do people get hold of you?
So it's Kameen at KameenSamuel.com is my email. I also have a gift for the listeners at KameenSamuel.com/Deanne, and it is on clearing the blocks to their success, so they can do that for themselves. And you can always email me at just Kameen at KameenSamuel.com.
And that's K-A-M-I-N Samuel, S-A-M-U-E-L,
yes,
for our listeners. So that's KameenSamuel.com. Is that right?
Yeah.
All right. And they can reach you at Kameen Samuel or
KameenSamuel.com.
Well, Kameen, I can't believe we're out of time. And I'd like to thank you very much for being on today's Inspiring Women.
Thank you so much. It was just so wonderful. And I just so love what you're doing in the world.
Well, thank you. You know, each week we try to connect you with extraordinary women, exploring their careers, giving you success tips and ideas to help you spark your professional and life growth. And each week I end with a quote. And today's quote is from Michelangelo. And he said, "The greater danger for most of us is not that our aim is too high and we miss it, but that it is too low and we reach it." So your action for this week is to see if you have some goals that are too easy to reach and set and strive higher. Until next time, this is Deanne DeMarco. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you for joining us for this week's edition of Today's Inspiring Women. Please join host Deanne DeMarco and other entrepreneurial and business leaders next Thursday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Have an outstanding week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.